Let's make our confession. I am ready to receive the uncompromised word of God. This word is for me, to change me for the better. I made it through yesterday. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. If God be for me, who can be against me? Right now, I declare victory in the name of Jesus. Well, if you agree with that, put your hands together and bless the Lord. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, we will begin reading at verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to hear from the Amplified. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Say anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So you have an option. You can either fret or you can pray. Come on, you can either worry or you can be thankful. The choice is yours. Circumstances, situations are going to come, but you and I have an option about how we're going to deal with it. It says, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, say that's peace, that transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We are in lesson number 2 of a series entitled Be Anxious for Nothing. Here it is, the second Sunday in January, and the year has just begun, and the Lord is saying to us, be anxious for nothing. The world right now is anxious, and there's even believers in the kingdom who are anxious. We are anxious about the things of God. We are anxious about when is my situation going to turn around. We're anxious about when are the windows of heaven going to open. We're anxious about when is my child going to act like the way I trained them. We are anxious about when is my healing going to show up. There are things of the kingdom that we are anxious about. And the Lord is saying to us, be anxious for nothing. And I was asking the Lord, he says, I want you to make sure you remind my people that there's a word that is very prevalent in your vocabulary when you are anxious. And that word is when. When we use the word when, it establishes our anxiety for a thing. And God really ministered to me because I considered myself to be a person that was in faith, that wasn't anxious of things, but there was one word that I used quite a bit, and that was when. Somebody say something to me, when. Okay, we're going to do this, when. Okay, we're going to plan this, when? And the way I began to look at it is that any person that wants to be prepared needs to know when so that they can be prepared. Anybody understand that? So in my own mind, I had justified my vocabulary as being necessary. But in prayer, God said, you are deceived. Because let me explain something to you. The when will not come until you have already been prepared. So you don't need to ask when, you just need to keep doing. You've been deceived into thinking you're just this planner. You're this organized person. You want to be in position. You want to make sure you've done everything. But let me tell you, the enemy has brought you into a place of anxiety because all your when has brought on anxiety rather than preparation. Anybody else say, ouch? So I say, okay, Lord, I realize some things about myself. That I thought I was being prepared. I thought I was being where you wanted me to be. But really and truly, I'm being anxious. Because my when was driving the anxiety. Because as soon as I heard a date, guess what? I'm expecting it right then and there. Anxiety. So God doesn't want us to seek when. He wants us to seek wisdom. He wants us to be prepared. But God says, I'm not going to let it come to pass until it's time. So I just need you to keep doing. Because when you keep doing, you will be prepared and you will know when the wind comes, you'll know what to do. Amen. So from our lesson last week, we know that anxiety is one of the devil's weapons to make you unfruitful. And patience is what brings about the reward. Anxiety will always kill fruit. In Luke 8:15, we read last week that if we want to bring forth fruit, we must receive the word, hear the word, keep the word in an honest and a good heart with patience. That means you got to let the seed take time to take root so that it can produce the fruit that God wants it to produce. Now, anxiety is defined as distress or uneasiness of mind. Distress or uneasiness of mind. Now, this is interesting to me. It's caused by fear. Anxiety is defined as distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. So what brings about my anxiety is that I am fearful that something bad is going to happen. I am fearful that it's not going to go the way that I hope it's going to go. I am fearful that things are not going to be what I hope they will be. But the Bible never told us to live by fear. It says we are to live by faith. So when anxiety comes, that's where Paul is saying, be anxious for nothing. Rather be in faith. Expect that what God said, it will come to pass. You have a choice. Are you going to spend your time being anxious, being fearful, allowing stress to come upon you, wondering this, wondering that, when is this, when is that? Or are you going to live a fruitful life and just live the way I've called you to live from day to day? The choice is yours. So rather than have anxiety, God is saying, people of God, I want you to have patience. And I'm telling you early in the year, because there are some things that are to come that I don't want you to be stressed out about. Some of us are wondering what's going to happen when the numbers come in from our company. Are they going to lay us off? Are they going to promote us? Am I going to get a raise? What's going to happen? You know, in 6 months, my lease is up. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because I don't know. I don't have a plan. My credit is bad. So we are stressed. And God says, why are you worried about something that might happen when you can rest in my promise of what I declared? I am for you. But we've allowed the enemy to come in and bring us into an agreement with all this when God says, I want you in agreement with the if. I mean, the enemy has brought us into an agreement with if. God wants us to come into an agreement with when. Because God doesn't deal in if. God deals in due season. God deals in fullness of time. God deals with appointed place, appointed time. So rather than having anxiety, we are to have patience. And I just love how God is so faithful. I'm receiving this word for myself personally because I know the Lord would not tell me this if I'm not going to need it. Somewhere along, and I've needed it already, but I'm really going to need it. Somewhere along this year, this word is for me. We say this word is for me. I'm telling you, you better grab hold to it. There is something that God wants to settle in your spirit now. Not waiting for something to manifest. He wants it to settle in your spirit now. Because do you know there are some physical effects that relate to anxiety? Heart palpitations, tension, fatigue, chest pain, stomach aches, ulcers, headaches, insomnia. These are things that's not part of a Christian life. But when we have these things manifesting, it's a result of the inner peace that's missing. And God wants us to be free, people of God. He wants us to walk in the freedom of the healing and the peace that he has given us through Christ Jesus. Go to James chapter 1. Last week, we understood that we are not born patient. Say, thank you, Jesus. See, you thought something was wrong with you, that you're not patient automatically. But now becomes the working time. We are not born patient. We must develop patience. I don't know if anybody else is excited. That excites me because sometimes I'm like, okay, what's wrong with me? Why is everybody else in traffic with a smile and I got a frown on my face? You know? But the Lord says you got to work on patience. James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when, I want you to underline that word, when, not if, when you fall into various trials. People of God, trials are going to come. And the Bible says when you fall and when you find yourself in a trial, you have a choice. You can count it all joy or you can't count it joy. The choice is yours. But James is saying count it all joy. He says, why? Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience is produced. Patience is developed as a result of you counting all the trials joy. It's a mindset. Verse 4 says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. And so we know that God is going to allow tests to come so that our faith can be tried, so that patience can be produced, because we were lacking something. Now, you have to understand, James was writing to believers who were undergoing tremendous hardships. These were people who, because of their faith, were being thrown into arenas with hungry lions and eaten. These are people who, because of their faith, were being beheaded. These are people who, because of their faith, were going to jail. And you thought you had some problems. Right now in Nigeria, there is a big push by the Islamic militants to kill Christians. They're being told either you're going to reject Christianity and accept Islam, or we're going to kill you. And you thought you had some problems. So when the word of God is coming to us saying endure trials, you mean the trial is the fact that I might get laid off, but I still got my health. The trial is the fact that somebody left me. They don't want me anymore, but that's all right. I still got my health. My head is not on a chopping block. I'm not in front of a hungry lion. The least I could do is endure the trial. I'm blessed. And God is faithful. The Bible says he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. So when you find yourself in a temptation, the word should come to you. This is how you count it all joy, because you recall the word that says, I'm not going to be in a situation that I can't bear. So if I am here, there is a way of escape for me. There is a way out for me. I don't have to be taken out. I can overcome this trial. Because if I couldn't overcome it, that would mean that God was not faithful. And I know that God is faithful. That's how we count it all joy. Because we take to put our mind up on what God said, not what we feel. It never said it's going to feel good. Come on, God never promised you every day you're going to walk around skipping. God never said that every moment of your life you're going to endure. He says endure hardships. So some days it's going to hurt. Some days you're going to want to give up. Some days you're going to find yourself knocked out. But the testimony is the fact that I was knocked out, but I got up. I came to myself because I realized that I can endure this trial. See, we know the definitions of the word patience comes from the Greek hapomono. Hapo means under, as to be underneath something. Meno means to stay or abide. The Logos definition that we receive from Pastor is to abide under, in my appointed place, steadfast, unmovable, persevering until my change comes. Another definition of the word meno means to remain in one spot, or to resolve to maintain some territory that has been gained. So James here is talking to military-minded people. And anybody know in a military advancement, there's territory that you gain. And so as you make an advancement, there is territory that you gain. Now the enemy that you are fighting will come to try to cause you to retreat. But a military instructor says, remain in your territory. Do not go back. We're not going to lose the ground that we've gained. We're going to fight to the end. We have prepared you. We sent you through basic training. We have prepared you. We got the best equipment. We know how to shoot. We know how to gain advancement. The fact that we know is the fact that we are here and not back there. So what I need you to do, even though you see the enemy, I need you to dig in, and I need you to be prepared to not lose the territory. Bring that to the spirit. You, before you were saved, the enemy had all the territory. But the moment you gave your life to the Lord, you gained some territory. And as you grow in Him, territory is being gained. So when the trial comes, the enemy's strategy is to cause you to back up. But what God is saying, don't back up, dig in. Have some not quitting power, some staying power, some determination that says, I see where I was and I see where I am and I see where I'm going, and I make a decision that I'm going to go forth. I'm not going back. I got the determination to persevere. God is calling us forward, not back. The enemy, that's his strategy, to take territory. He wants to take territory back in your life. But James is saying, endure it. Bear it up. Dig deep. This is the time to be stubborn. You say all your life you were stubborn. You was a hard-headed child. Now you need to be hard-headed for the kingdom. You need to say, God, you called me to do it. I'm just stubborn enough to do it. I'm not backing up. You know why? Backing up is a choice. Let me tell you something, people of God. The devil can't make you do anything. That is a lie from the pits of hell that the devil made you do it. You know what happened? You brought your will into an agreement with his will. Same thing. God can't make you do anything. Do you think it's the will of God? The Bible says it is not the will of God that any man should perish. But are people going to perish? Yep. Not because of God's power, not because of God's word, but because they have brought their will out of an agreement with God's will. Don't give the enemy all that credit. You stop walking around saying, I can't. It's too hard. What is going to happen? You know, all my life, I don't know what to do. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give to all men liberally. You don't know, but God does. All you need to do is ask. Stop backing up. Endure it. Determine to yourself, I have come too far. One of my testimony songs right now is that new song by Will McDowell, I Won't Go Back. I've come too far since the moment you changed me. See, when you've really been changed by the Lord, you know the power of God. Come on, you know what he did, he can still do. Come on, what he brought you out of, he can keep bringing you out of. But you got to tell yourself, I won't back up. So here are three keys to developing patience. Remember, a key gives you access. Key number one, I must give faith time to work. I must give faith time to work. See, faith and patience are partners. Come on, faith and patience work together. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. You got to give faith time to work. And time means time. Don't put a definition on God's time. God, I gave you 6 months now. I got to handle my business. Look, there's danger attached when we move outside of God's timing. Ask Samuel. The Bible says that Saul was at a place where he was waiting on Samuel to come to offer up the sacrifice. But it was taking Samuel a little bit too long to arrive. So you know what Saul did? He went in and offered up the sacrifice. And from that very moment, the kingdom was rent from him because he was not in a position. Only the priests were the ones to offer up the sacrifice. And then he's going to try to blame Samuel. You took too long. The people was looking for the sacrifice. Do you know there's dangerous consequences when you get ahead of God? Hebrews 6, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, 2 Corinthians says that all the promises of God are obtained by faith in him, meaning Christ, or yes and amen. So we know faith brings about the promise. Faith in Christ brings about the promise. But in order to inherit the promise, I need patience. Because that will cause me to inherit the promise. So what we must do is continue to let faith work. meaning we are rooted, unmovable. We are stable. We are steadfast. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We got to be in position, people. And what is that? God, whatever you want me to do. John 15:7, he says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything in my name and it shall be done unto you. And I want to give you a literal translation. You know what he's saying? If you steadfastly and continuously abide in me, and my word steadfastly and continuously abide in you, then you ask and you receive. But if I ask and then I jump out of faith, how do I expect to receive? I got to receive when I get back in faith. I can't ask and then jump out and go do it my way. See, being in faith says I'm doing it God's way. Being in faith says I'm surrendered to the word. But when I jump out of that because I'm anxious, because I'm fearful, because it's not happening the way I want it to happen. And, you know, I hear people say this all the time. It's not the will of God for me to feel bad. Where's that in the word? I know I'm supposed to be released from this marriage because I ain't happy. Where is that in the word? That's your feeling. I understand. I sympathize with your feelings, but we got to submit to the word. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want this to be my testimony. You ought to want this to be your testimony. Verse number 6, Paul is speaking here. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, or my race, and I have kept the faith. Before Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was keeping something that he thought was the race he was supposed to run, but he wasn't. He was doing his own thing. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and from that moment, his journey began. But you got to understand, all things wasn't easy for Paul for that moment. Come on, Paul had to endure some things. Paul had to go against his own people. They rejected him. People tried to kill him. All of this, Paul says, I kept the faith. That means I didn't go back to what I didn't know prior to the Damascus road. Because at that moment, I received the faith, even though it was hard, even though I was in jail. And when he's writing this letter, he's in jail. Even though he knows I'm about to check out of here. But guess what? I have kept the faith. Verse number 8, he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I love in verse number 16. Here's how we know the journey is not going to be easy. Paul said in verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Paul said, every one of them left, but I kept the faith. He says, may it not be charged against him. This is how we know he kept the faith. Paul said, forgive him. Even though they left me, there's no vengeance in my heart because I have kept the faith. And the faith says that I love my enemies. I pray for them who despitefully use me. So even now, I have kept the faith. I'm not allowing my heart to be contaminated because of what they did. I'm keeping the faith. Verse 17, he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me. And that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know how he was delivered? He kept the faith. He gave faith an opportunity to work. Verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Will this be your testimony? Will you leave the faith because they talked about you? Will you leave the faith and tell them about themselves? Will you leave the faith and walk around with bitterness in your heart? Will you leave the faith because they laid you off? Will you leave the faith because he left you? Will you leave the faith because she abused you? Will you leave the faith because he tripped on you? Will you leave the faith because you're broke? Will you leave the faith because you're bankrupt? Will you leave the faith because you don't have a job? Will you keep the faith? Paul said, I kept the faith. That's what I want my testimony to be. All the trials, God, I kept the faith. All the hurt, God, I kept the faith. All the disappointment, Lord, I kept the faith. All the stuff that didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen, Lord, I kept the faith. See, you got to give faith time to work. That's why the Bible says be anxious for nothing. And then the second key is this. I must believe my victory will come at the right time. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, you might have to check that on your table of contents, and that's clearly all right. Don't try to be tripping, trying to flip through it. Just go ahead and find it. Habakkuk chapter 2. Amen. I must believe my victory will come at the right time. You have to believe that. This is a key to not being anxious, is believing your victory is going to come. Habakkuk chapter 2, when you get there, say, I'm ready. Help your neighbor out. Tell them it's after Micah. Just go to the New Testament and swing back. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. Though it seems like a delay, wait for it, because it's going to surely come and won't delay. What God is saying is my timing is perfect. He says his timing is perfect. And so write down what I'm showing you. Write down the vision. But don't get anxious when it doesn't come when you think it ought to come. Come on, how many of us have said, these are my 2012 goals? I'm going to lose 600 pounds by December 31st. I'm going to work out 23 hours of the 24 hours of the day. I'm going to save $1 billion. This is how our goals look to God. We writing down all this stuff that our flesh wants. God didn't tell us to lose 600 pounds. That's just what we think we need to lose. But God says, I want you, even though you write all that stuff down, if you got faith enough to believe it, come on, whatever. But don't get stressed out if December 31st it doesn't happen. And don't start looking in your checking account in June and say, Lord, I'm a long way away. You know what I believe? If that's truly a blessing that God has for me, God can do it at 11:59 on December 31st. I believe he's able. So I'm not going to be anxious about all this. Freaking out, losing my mind, can't even go from day to day because I'm so consumed with what might be. That's what anxiety is. It's about what might be. Because we don't believe our victory is going to come, but it will, because Ecclesiastes says there's a time for every season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. So there is a set time. So when you have patience working in your life, it's just a matter of time until the victory comes. It's not if. Tell your neighbor, it's not if. It is when. See, we have to remember that. And let me tell you how we do this in the natural. I know many people right now looked at their end of the year check and they saw that tax number right there. So right now they're already making plans on what they're going to do with their refund. So we know how to do it in the natural. How are you going to have more confidence in the government than you do your God? Do you know the government could go bankrupt and none of us get a check? They can do what they want to do. But we're waiting on that W-2 so we can go do the overnight rapid return. Hey, do what you got to do. But here's my point. Don't have more confidence in that win than you do in the promises of God. That's a win. It's just a matter of time. They tell you overnight, 2 to 3 days, we count down the days. Some of us like hoping it hit early. Glory to God. You know, if it's in the mail, we put it on our calendar 4 to 6 weeks from this date. On that 6th week, we circle the date. All I'm saying is we know how to do it in the natural. We have to challenge ourselves to receive the promises of God that same way in the spirit. To say, God, you said it. So it will happen. in your timing, Lord. So I'm going to calm down. I'm going to settle my heart down. I'm feeling a little rushed on the inside. Let me just chill out. Let me take a deep breath. Let me remember who you are. I'm not going to have more confidence in the IRS than I have in you. You're not stressed out. Once you leave that tax office and they tell you how much your refund is, stress gone. Come on, let's be real. You were stressed before you went in there until they told you about some deductions that you didn't know about. And you came out, glory, hallelujah, praise dancing in the parking lot. Somebody say, what happened to you, girl? I'm getting my taxes. When I get my taxes, I got some extra money. I'm getting my taxes. You are just taxes. Woo, hallelujah. Before the check even in your hand, you celebrating. Nothing's wrong with that. I'm not telling you it's bad. But what I'm saying is the fact that you get in the promises of God and you say, he says that the vision is going to speak. Hallelujah. The vision going to speak. Hey, I'm not going to have more confidence in the IRS. Come on, H&R Block could go bankrupt and mess my stuff up. I'm not going to be tripping with them. When I read a promise in the word of God and he says that he will cause all grace to come upon me so that I have all sufficiency to do all things. Hallelujah. Come on, you better tell somebody you don't know who you are. More importantly, you don't know who you serve. So I got to believe. That's why when the word come and it hit my situation, ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, Lord, that was for me. I receive it. Thank you, Lord. I was concerned, but the word came and corrected. Ooh, Jesus. Ain't nothing changed, baby, but I understand. Like, them taxes going to come, that promise is going to come. And here's your third and final point. Oh, I can't leave without this. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to see this in the word. See, I want to load you up with word so you can go and just be quoting this and dance in your own prayer closet. Come on, however you celebrate when something good happened to you, that's how you need to start celebrating when you see a promise in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You're not going to receive the promise until you have done the will. You're not going to do the will without endurance, without patience. Because just as you are making an advancement towards territory, you have to know the enemy is going to come because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when you're making an advancement towards, he wants to destroy you or stop you from doing that. So the way you overcome that is by endurance or patience. And then in verse number 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know why? Because God never draws back. So God is in you. He's not going to have pleasure in something that's not his will. So when we draw back, when we leave our appointed place, we are saying, I'm doing something contrary to the nature of God. God doesn't take pleasure in that. God takes pleasure in obedience. God takes pleasure in us reflecting his character. God takes pleasure in us imitating how he does. Then verse 39 says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Say, I'm not like that. Come on, say it. I'm not like that. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And when we are not like that, that's not who the children of God are. Come on, we are of the faith, of the opinion, like Jesus went to the cross. Whatever cross I got to go to, I'm willing to go. Because I know there'll be a day number three. There's a resurrection day coming. So even though I may find myself on the cross, incapacitated for 3 days, it's all right. One day I'm going to get up. And I trust that as he got up, I can get up. Because the Bible says that we are seated together in heavenly places. So you have to make sure that you believe your victory is going to come. Now, again, I want to say this to you. This is your choice. No one can believe it for you. You have to believe it for yourself. And then here's the third and final key. I must fight the temptation to give up, give in, or give out. And I want you to underline the word fight. Let's be honest. The temptation will come, but you do not have to yield to the temptation. You can overcome the temptation with a decision to believe the word of God and reject the lie of the enemy. This is your choice. But there will be situations that are orchestrated. There will be things that happen that will be tempting. What I mean by that, it's easier to quit. It's easier to give up. There have been situations I have walked through that it would have been a lot easier to just say, forget it. I am so done with this. I don't need this. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Come on, there are people in my life that, you know, y'all know family. Sometimes you just don't want to talk to them for a while. Forget it. I ain't got to talk to you. And then the Holy Spirit just start working on you. No, you got to make this right. And you call me stomach boiling. Oh, God, I don't want to talk to them. But the Holy Ghost saying, talk to them. Like, oh, my gosh, I got to do this. And then they tell you, yeah, you should apologize because of what you did. And you just really want to take it all back at that moment. Because they feel like they ain't do anything wrong. Help me, Jesus. But the Lord says, humble yourself. Oh, it's hurting, God. So the temptation just hang up and say, never mind. Lord, I got to press through. I got to put it on mute screen and get back on the phone. Say, okay. I'm just being real. That's a temptation. And the enemy just orchestrated their conversation to just take you out. Because, see, the reason you called because the Lord was dealing on your heart until you were wrong. So now you're gaining territory. You're taking back territory. The enemy's trying to bring you in a place of unforgiveness, but you're saying, I'm not going to stay there. I'm moving forward. So you've made a decision to move forward and bind bitterness and unforgiveness, and the enemy is orchestrating all the situations on the other end to test your resolve. Now, are you going to give up? Are you going to give in? Are you going to give out? You better humble yourself and smile and say, oh, bless the Lord God. You are so good. Then you get off the phone. You say, now, Lord, I did that one for you. God, I'm looking for a reward somewhere. The temptation. I want you to get it. The temptation. God never said we wasn't going to be tempted. He's not tempting us. The devil is. But God is allowing it because you can overcome the temptation. I want you to go to Jeremiah 29. This is the last place we're going to turn. And we're going to be done. God is so awesome and just so faithful. I did not know Pastor was going to be teaching this on last week. And the week before, my devotional came in Jeremiah 29. And God already gave me insight on this passage. And I just want to tell you, many of us, we love Jeremiah 29:11. How many of you love 29:11? Come on, we got it on bumper stickers. We got it on bracelets. I got bracelets with it. I love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So as I was meditating on this, that's a good word, isn't it? Come on, that's an encouraging word. That's a word that would just strengthen you. That's a hallelujah word, right? Don't you dance off of that word? I dance off of that word. But then there is something that we need to read. I want you to go up to verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think of you, saith the Lord. Now, I can't shout on 11 and not receive 10. So God said, in 70 years, this going to be performed. But you got 70 years to go through it. I don't want you to be anxious in those 70 years. I want you to go up to verse 4. See, God, he will tell you, and I believe prophetically, God is speaking this to Antioch today. God is telling us to go ahead and settle in where you are. Some of us waiting, and we're anxious about our season changing. We're anxious about our situation changing. And so we're anxious. We're just waiting. God says, settle down. Because look what he says in verse 4. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused you to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 5, he says, build houses and dwell in them. He says, plant gardens and eat their fruit. He said, take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give their daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. He says, live your life right where you are. Live. Do you know how long it takes for you to raise your child, to take a husband and a wife? He said, it's going to be a while. Settle down. Settle in. Unpack your suitcase. You know, you go to a hotel, you leave your stuff packed because you say ain't going to be here for a while. Some of us have left our stuff packed in the spirit. We are waiting for our situation to shift before we unpack and use the gifts and talents that God has given us by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm telling you to unpack. He says, plant gardens and eat the fruit. Gain some weight. Do something with yourself. Stop sitting here being idle. Get up. Go to work. Enjoy the city. Enjoy the place where you are. Even though you're a captive, guess what? My peace is still here. I know everything ain't well. I understand you don't like that one-bedroom apartment. I get it. You say it's too many of us in this place. I got that. But God says, unpack, enjoy where you are, because it's going to be a minute. Now, I want you to see this in verse number 8, because I believe we've had some false prophets prophesy to us. Verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which have caused you to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, said the Lord. What was happening here, these prophets was telling them, y'all not going to be here a while. This temporary. And when somebody tells you something is temporary, your mind is automatically set to my day of departure. So what you stop doing is functioning where you are. And all you're doing now is buying time till that date comes so that you can go to the next thing. But God is saying right now, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace. After 70 years, I'm going to set you free. But in the midst of this moment, I need you to be productive. Stop freaking out. Stop losing control. Stop tripping. Get yourself together. Stop saying, when I get a husband, I'm going to take a trip. When I get a wife, I'm going to take a trip. When I get a better job, I'm going to take a trip. If God has given you the resources right now, girlfriend, pack your bags. Unpack. Settle in. Stop waiting on your next ministry assignment and fulfill your current one. Stop waiting on a promotion and do what you're called to do right now. Be anxious for nothing. God says, be anxious. Or nothing. Not one thing do I want you anxious about. So Jesus said it in the New Testament this way. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got enough trouble on its own. You just live in today. Yesterday is gone, but you got today that you need to deal with. Now, is that saying don't plan? No. But move off of this place where you're saying, I know this is not the will of God for me. God got something better for me. And he does. But that transition is not going to come until the appointed time. So verse number 10, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, there is a completion date that is only set by him. That's when he'll visit you and perform the work. Other than that, right now where you are, you better change your mindset, and you have to determine that I'm going to fight the temptation to give up, to give in, and to give out. Because I know that my change is going to come at the appointed time. Now, we all know David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that when David came to Ziklag, he found everything burned, that David and his men wept. So there's going to be a weeping time. There's going to be a time where you find yourself knocked out. I'm here to tell you, don't trip. Come on, there's going to be a freak out moment. My children know when I hear certain news at the first time, I freak out. Then I get myself together. You know, I start seeing report cards, I freak out. Then I calm down. Okay, let's get this plan together. Because, you know, do what you have to do. I'm praying for my freak out moments to be less and less in between. You know, sometimes it was like 3 days and then 2 days and then 1 day. And glory to God, I'm working on myself. So work on yourself. I don't want you to feel bad if you have a freak out moment. Tell me. Come on, say it. You have your moment, Sister McGill. Come on, tell me. Release me. But then get it together. Come on, that's what you got to say to yourself. Okay, if I need to scream, let me scream. Do what I got to do. Sometimes these report cards come on. I'm like, boy, whose child are you? Give me 5 minutes. Let me go in here and do what I need to do. Then I come on back out. Sometimes you have freak out moments. Ain't nothing wrong with a freak out moment. But that can't be a freak out lifestyle. Come on. Your moment may be different than my moment. You know, some phone calls you get, it's like a freak out moment. Some mail you open, hallelujah, it's a freak out moment. Nothing wrong with the moment. That can't be a lifestyle. I got to come up out of this thing. So when we come up out of it, we remember what the Lord says. Be anxious for nothing. Come on, can we give God a praise in this place? Hallelujah.